Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn over to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from this chapter today. We're going to look over at the 21st verse. And anyway, I'll be conveying to you the story itself a little later in the message, so we're not going to read the entire account here, but Matthew 18, verse 21, "Then Peter came to him and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times.'" Or as the older version says, 70 times seven. So you see different translations there. Also the final verse, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have because it gives us the opportunity to talk to the God who made the heavens and the earth. Every now and then we have opportunities to meet some people that are well-known or famous, and it might give us a real good feeling to be able to converse with them once in a while. But you know, in spite of that privilege that we have, it's important to remember, too, that in all of these things, there is one person that we can talk to that is even far more important than anyone else. I should say really one being, and that is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you come to Him, I hope you don't come to Him and just always ask Him for things, although it's all right to ask. But I hope you come to Him too and tell Him about what's on your heart, and also listen as He speaks silently to your heart. I hope that also that as you have these opportunities that you will also praise Him and thank Him for being who He is and for all the blessings that He gives to you. When you pray to God, I want you to remember, first of all, that prayer involves all the members of the Holy Trinity. Now, we've talked about the Trinity in the past, and you know what the Trinity is all about. The God that we worship is one God. He's one being, but He's made up of three distinct persons: Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Together, those three persons form one true eternal God. And Jesus, of course, told us that when we pray, we should come first of all to the Father. Now, we're going to see that though we're coming to the Father first, yet all three of the members of the Trinity are involved in prayer. Donald Gray Barnhouse, in one of his commentaries, says, "If you look at a stool that has only two legs, it doesn't work very well. But if you look at a stool that has three legs, it's very secure. It's a place that you can sit down." And, you know, in a certain sense, that's a good illustration of what the Trinity is like as well. When we're coming to God, we're coming with a recognition that He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "When you pray, ask the Father." Why is that? Because the Father is the one that our prayers ultimately go to. Our Father is a gracious, loving Father who hears our prayers and who supplies all the things that we need in our daily life. Also, we need to remember that though our Father is far away and we cannot see Him, that doesn't mean that He's not right there with us as well. God sees us, God knows us, God cares about every one of us, no matter who we are. The Bible tells us, too, that when we pray, we should come to the Father through the Son. We should pray in Jesus' name, okay? And when we use that phrase, "in Jesus' name," it reminds me a lot of checks that people write sometimes. Have you ever received a check in the mail that somebody was paying you for something, some service maybe that you did, and there's the check, and it has all the information on it except for one thing: they forgot to sign it. You say, well, that's very nice. I mean, it looks like the right amount that we agreed on and everything, but it's not really going to work without a signature. And of course, you don't just write down the person's signature there. That's called forgery. You're not allowed to do that. So you have to contact the person and say, I'm sorry, but you forgot to sign your check. It only works if it comes in that person's name that wrote it. And you know, the same thing is true when we pray. We come in Jesus' name. That is what gives us access to God the Father in heaven. It's very important that we keep that in mind, because Jesus is the only way that we can go to the Father. He himself taught, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. We also know from the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy a long time ago that there is, in fact, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the one whereby we can come from this world and get into contact, really, with another world where God the Father is, by coming through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, there's one thing, too, that I appreciate in Romans chapter 8, and there Paul tells us something about prayer and the Holy Spirit also. We know in Romans chapter 8 that Paul says that we don't always know how to pray. Have you ever had that? Maybe you know there's something weighing heavily on your heart, but you don't know how to say it. You just don't know how to convey the thoughts that are working all inside of you. Maybe it feels all jumbled up inside, and you say, well, how can I communicate this? Well, of course, God knows our thoughts, and God knows our situation. But the Bible tells us there in Romans chapter 8 that when we pray, the Holy Spirit also gets involved in our praying. The Holy Spirit helps our prayers to get through to the Son of God, who conveys that to the Father, the one who is the mediator in between God and man. He is the great mediator, and the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. He even helps us so that we know how to pray. And we ought to pray confidently, as we will see too. Sometimes when we pray to God, he says yes, and he gives us what we ask for. Sometimes he says, no, it's not going to be good for you. Sometimes he says, wait. I think that's the hardest one of all. When we think we're asking for something that's good and acceptable, but God is telling us that not at this moment, that he's going to fulfill. But the important thing is to remember that when you come to the Father with the help of the Holy Spirit and coming in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, God the Father hears our prayers. He doesn't give us everything that we want, but he always hears our prayers as long as we keep certain things in mind. And that leads us to a second point here this morning. I want to talk to you in closing today about five rules that are important to remember when you pray. You know, if you look around, life is full of rules and regulations. I was watching the Tigers last night. Yes, I was watching them actually lose the ball game. But anyway, I was glad to see that it looked like my favorite player there, Mr. Cabrera, was starting to do some things. He had two RBIs out of the three that were scored last night, and that was good. But you know what? As great a player as he is, many of the folks in baseball today say that when Miguel Cabrera is on the field, that he is the best baseball player in any league at any one moment. He is the finest hitter in the game today. But you know what? As great as he might be, he still has to follow the rules, doesn't he? You've never seen Miguel Cabrera come to the home plate with a tennis racket. They don't use tennis rackets to hit baseballs. That's just not the rules. That's not how the game is played. And you notice, too, that if Miguel Cabrera gets a third strike called on him, he's out. He's not going to get one extra strike just because he's a great player. It's not like he gets some special favoritism. Oh, no. The rules apply to him just like they do to any other player that's involved in Major League Baseball. The rules are significant. And you know, the same thing is true when we pray. God has certain things that he's looking for. Number one, when we come to him, first of all, we've already said we need to come in Jesus' name, but more importantly, we need to come as those who know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. When we come to him, we are to come as those who are God's children seeking special audience with our wonderful spiritual Heavenly Father, but we're coming in Jesus' name because we belong to Jesus, and Jesus is our Savior. He belongs in us and to us as well. And I've already quoted these important texts here that tell us about the wonderful position that Jesus has in our life. There's only one Savior in the world, and that is Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people think, well, there's many ways to God, aren't there? Not according to the Bible. People can believe whatever they want to, but if you're going to follow the Bible, and if it's Christianity that you want to embrace, then we need to realize that the Bible teaches very plainly there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the only Lord. He is the only Savior. He's the only way whereby we can have access to the Father in heaven. Second rule, not only must we come in Jesus' name, having him as our personal Savior, but more than that, we must also believe that when we pray, that God will answer our prayers. Now, I've already told you, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait, but you know what? The important thing to remember is that when we come to him, we must believe that he wants us to come, and we must come in faith, believing that God is willing to hear and to answer prayer. Look at some of these scriptures that we've listed there in the outline. Whatever you ask, you'll receive it if you ask in faith. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Okay? Have you ever thought of God as being one who wants to reward people who seek him? The scripture says that he does want to reward us. If we follow some of the other things that we're going to talk about in just a moment, God is very willing to bless us and to hear us. But he wants us to come in faith. When James wrote his letter in the New Testament, he says, when you come to the Lord, come not with doubt in your mind. Don't come saying, I wonder if God really cares. I wonder if he'll really hear this prayer. James says anybody who comes with that kind of doubt is like the wave of the sea. You go out to Lake Michigan, and what do you see? You look at those boats out there, and they're tossing around. And a lot of people's lives are just like that when they pray. They're up and down, and they don't really know what to think. Well, God says, don't do that. God is not pleased with our doubt, but he is very pleased when we come to him in faith, when we come with expectation. Here's a third one. We must also remember that when we come to God, we must not be cherishing sin in our hearts. You say, well, what do you mean, cherishing sin? Well, let's be honest now. If you look inside your heart, how many times are there in your life when you know that there are certain things that God really doesn't want you to do, or that he's commanded you not to do, and yet you find that you really want to do them? You want to go ahead and do them, and sometimes you act on that impulse, and sometimes you don't. But you continue to go through your life, and you keep wanting the things that God doesn't want. That's cherishing iniquity in your heart. And the psalmist, David, says in Psalm 66:18 that if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now, he does go on and says, but thank God that he did hear and he did listen. David had certain times in his life where he was cherishing the wrong things and God was not dealing with him as he once did. David, you remember, was a man after God's own heart. But when David began to cherish the things that were wrong, it was like the heavens were closed to David. But when, of course, he came to the Lord in true confession of his sin to God in repentance and asking God to forgive him and to help, like he said, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. If we come to God in that way, God is willing to hear us when we pray and will not turn a deaf ear to us. Can you imagine what it would be like if you knew that tomorrow at a certain time, somebody was going to come by and was going to rob your house or your apartment or your room, wherever it is? You knew that they were going to be there at that time, and yet you decided that just to make it easy for them, you would leave the door unlocked and you would be away, but the door would be wide open and they could come in and do whatever they wanted. You say, well, it's ridiculous. Who would ever do a thing like that? But it's no more ridiculous than thinking that we can come to God and say, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Please help me, Lord. Give me what I need. And in the meantime, all the while that we're asking him for this, we already know that we have no desire to follow him. We want nothing to do with his lordship over our life. We just want to live any way that we want, but we want his blessings. Oh, Lord, bless me so that I can keep on in my rebellion against you. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? And that's why the scripture tells us that don't cherish iniquity in your heart if you want to get through to God. Number four, we must be ready and willing to forgive others. And that's where we picked up the story in Matthew 18 that we read this morning. I refer also to another scripture there, Mark 11:25, that says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But remember, the ability to forgive others is very important if God is going to honor the prayers that we bring as well. We look at the story here. Peter comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I have a problem. My problem is that I have a brother who keeps sinning against me. How many times do I have to forgive him? You can just see his mind there. He says, three strikes and you're out. So if I double that, that's six, and I add one more for good measure, Lord, seven times? Lord says, oh no, 70 times seven. In other words, forgiveness is something that we should continually seek to practice in our lives. And as we do that, God is also continually going to bring blessings into our life, including forgiveness of our sins as well. But you notice, Jesus tells us at the end of that 18th chapter these words. He says, so my heavenly Father will do for every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The story that Jesus told was about a man who owed over $1 million to a master. And one day the master called him in and said, hey, when are you going to pay me what you owe me? The man said, please help me. I can't pay it. The fellow said, well, you're going to have to go into slavery. You're going to have to go and work for me and your whole family too in order to pay me back. And he said, please just have mercy with me. The man said, all right, I'll have mercy on you. But the fellow went out. The man who had owed so much money, he went out and there was somebody who owed him money, maybe $1,000, let's say, just to round it off. And he came to that man and said, pay me what you owe me. The fellow said, I can't do it right now. I'll be able to do it, but just be merciful to me. And the man said, I won't do it. I'm going to take you right now. I'm going to bring you down to court. I'm going to have you thrown in jail. I'm going to make you pay the price. You say, you mean he was so mean when all the fellow owed him was $1,000 and the other guy himself owed $1 million? Yeah, it looks kind of unfair, doesn't it? The word got back to the original master, and the fellow that was unforgiving found himself in a real difficulty. Why? Because he was unwilling to forgive. God wants us to forgive. And I know that sometimes it can be hard. You know, we all want to be forgiven when we sin, don't we? But a lot of times we are unwilling to grant that same forgiveness to others when they sin. And that, of course, is wrong. God is a forgiving God, and because of what Jesus has done, he offers his forgiveness to us, and we ought to do the same thing in offering forgiveness to others as well. Being a Christian means what? It means that I treat you the way that God treats me. and God forgives me for Jesus' sake. We should be learning how to do that with others as well for Jesus' sake. One final thing by way of rules of prayer too. We must not only come as those who know Jesus. We not only should come as those who believe that God will answer our prayers. We need to come not cherishing sin in our hearts, but ready to turn from it. We also need to be ready and willing to forgive others who have wronged us in some way. But we also must be ready to come to God according to the will of God. You say, well, you know, knowing the will of God, now that's a tricky one. Sometimes it's hard to know the will of God. You know what? 99% of the will of God for your life is already abundantly clear. And you say, well, how can that be? Because it's right here in the Bible. The will of God is in the Word of God. When you live by the Word of God, you will find that you are in the will of God. All right? And in those times when what you're questioning and wondering about as far as the will of God is concerned, the Bible tells us that if any of us at that point lack wisdom, what should we do? We should pray and ask God for help, who will give wisdom to us without finding fault. If there's a question that you have about your life and you don't know the answer to it and you can't find anything that speaks to it in all of the pages of the Bible, then take what James chapter 1 says and do it, and that is pray and ask God for wisdom. Say, Lord, I have a problem here. I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. I need help. And the Bible says that if we come in faith, He'll give us the answer. You know, if anybody's willing to do God's will and is ready to obey Him, whatever it says, whatever God tells us, by His Word, by His Holy Spirit in our hearts, if we're willing to do it, we'll find that we'll know what the answer is, too. We'll know what God wants us to do. He'll give us the direction that we need. We'll be able to have His guidance and His direction. I want to just close today by reminding you of something, that though prayer is something that God wants, He desires our prayers. Jesus Christ, of course, wants to bring our prayers to the Father. The Holy Spirit is ready to help us pray. But there is someone out there who does not want us to pray and hates it every time we do. And that is Satan. Satan doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to talk to God. He doesn't want you to be in fellowship with the Lord. He doesn't want you reading His Word. He doesn't want you to do any of these all important things that are so necessary if we're going to live God's way. Why? Because Satan is the enemy of the child of God. Believers have, as I've told you before, three great enemies. Number one, the world and its philosophy. Number two, the flesh, that is our sin nature within us. And number three, the devil. And that's not in any particular order. They're all three dangerous to our Christian walk. The world, the flesh, and the devil. When the devil sees us praying, what does he do? He'll do anything he can to interrupt you. You may not have thought about some of the things that flip into your mind. Maybe for 10 years, all of a sudden, here you are praying to God, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something pops into your head that's totally unrelated to anything you're doing at that moment. And you say, now, how in the world did that thought get there anyway? Well, sometimes it's because at that very moment, Satan will do anything he can to interject into the situation. Lots of confusion and lots of questions for us. And God wants us to turn from that. The scripture says that if we resist Satan, he will do what? He will flee from us. If you tell Satan to go away in Jesus' name and you really mean it and you want to have dealings with God, Satan will not just get away from you. The Bible says he will flee from you. Satan is frightened when people pray. You know why? He knows the power of prayer. Why did he come after Jesus and attack him? Not only because Jesus was about to become the Savior of the world, but because also he knew the power that Jesus possessed against him. And one of the reasons why he had it was, of course, because Jesus is God as well as man. But another reason why he had it was Jesus was a great man of prayer. He prayed continually. The Bible says that he prayed every day. Go through the Gospel of Luke sometime in the New Testament and make a note of every place where it talks about Jesus praying and under what circumstances he prayed. You'll be amazed to see how often Jesus prayed. And I think it's significant that it's Luke who mentions all this. And remember, Luke was the doctor. He's the man who's aware of details. And he has all the details about the prayer life of Jesus. Prayer is a great privilege. And we have the opportunity to engage in it. And God is willing to hear us when we pray, and we should take advantage of that wonderful privilege that is ours. If we truly love God, God will send Satan away, and we'll be able to pray with joy to our Heavenly Father, who wants to hear us when we come. Let's bow in prayer now, right, to our God as we close. Father, we come to you now, and we just ask that these words today might be truly in harmony with the Scriptures, that what we have said here today will speak to our hearts, and more importantly, Lord, not only that we'll sense the truth of what we hear, but also that we will want to walk in the truth and practice it and live it. Lord, forgive us for our times when we choose our own way over your way. Lord, we pray that through prayer, through the study of the Word, through drawing close to you in these precious times, that we will grow not only to know you better, but to be more like you and more in keeping with your will and your way. Now hear our prayer, and we ask it all in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.